Welcome to Selah, a daily study in the Scriptures with Pastor Ray Viola.
Today's passage shows divine providence in operation. God is absolutely sovereign. He alone is God, and He providentially moves in the lives of people in different ways. In today's example, God used an angel to tell Philip that he should leave the revival in Samaria and go down to the desert area of Gaza. Philip did not question his instructions, nor did he ask why. He simply obeyed, and God's purpose soon became clear. Please open your Bible to Acts chapter 8 and listen as Pastor Ray Viola begins his study of verses 26 through 40.
Acts chapter 8, and we will pick up where we left off last week, this exciting account of Philip, one of the seven, who is now going to be directed by the Lord in a different direction. And sometimes the Lord moves us in different directions, doesn't He? And sometimes those directions may not seem logical. Has God ever done anything what you or I would deem to be illogical in our lives? Oh, okay, so I'm just the only one. Okay, well, maybe I'll go. I'm not talking to anybody then. Yeah, or how about surprises? Yeah, well, that's what we're looking into today, that way that God works in the lives of His people that are open to His voice. We're also going to see how He works in the heart of an individual who is truly seeking to know Him. If you're here this morning and not born again, and you are truly seeking to know the living God, He will move heaven and earth to reveal Himself to you. And that's why you're here today. And so, let me read Acts 8, 26 through 40, verse 26. And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise, and go toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went. And behold, a man of Ethiopia, an eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure and had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning and sitting in his chariot, read Isaiah the prophet. And the Spirit of the Lord said unto Philip, Go near and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah and said, Understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, How can I, except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. The place of the scripture which he read was this: He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away, and who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this, of himself or of some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water. And the eunuch said, See, here is water. What does hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, If you believe with all your heart, you may. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stand still. And they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. But Philip was found at Azotus, and passing through, he preached in all the cities till he came to Caesarea. We could summarize the entire book of Acts with three statements. The Savior went up, the Spirit came down, and the saints went out. That's pretty much it. Amen. See you next week. No. But that's really what happened. Christ accomplished the work of redemption. He ascended up to the Father. The Spirit of God was poured out. He was put into his children. And now we go out. We have a mission. We each have an assignment from the Lord. And so here in the book of Acts chapter 8, Philip, you recall, is in a revival. I mean, people are being saved to the extent that the apostles in Jerusalem send Peter and John to lay hands on those who were being saved and water baptized that they might receive the Holy Ghost. And so there's some phenomenal works of God that are taking place. There are no doubt salvations, healing. People are being delivered from demonic powers, possession, and oppression. And how many of you know that the Lord doesn't change? He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And if you're here today and your life is being gripped by demonic powers or possession, Christ can and will set you free. And so here is Philip in the midst of this revival. Here he was, one of the seven that we learned about in Acts chapter 6. And God gives him the assignment now, who had been faithful in little things, passing out bread to widows. He gives him a little bit more of an assignment to do. So he begins to preach in this area of Samaria. And again, people are being saved. Then an angel speaks to him and says, Philip, go to Gaza. Doesn't sound logical, does it? I mean, Lord, you brought me here. You led me here. There's a revival. People are being delivered, healed, saved. This is wonderful. And God sends an angel, and the angel tells him, go to Gaza. Again, a desert area. Philip obeys, and he makes this journey of about 50 miles southwest of Jerusalem. Would you be prone, if you were Philip, now be honest, to ask God, are you sure you want me to do this? No? I'm probably thinking, well, Lord, things are really happening here in Samaria, and you want me to go down to Gaza. Are you sure? Now, God sends an angel. Maybe that's why God hasn't sent an angel to you or me, because Philip isn't going to answer. He's just going to go. So he hears this angel speak to him, arise and go toward the south. That's the first step. If you want to know what God's will is for your life today, whatever he tells you to do, do it. Whatever he's told you to do, do it. That was step one. Now, Philip doesn't have Acts chapter 8 and a pocket Bible in his robe. He has no idea what lies ahead. He's walking by faith, not by sight. He goes. When God speaks to you or me to do something, it's not necessary for us to understand or ask God what he is doing or why. We simply must obey. How many of you realize that in walking with the Lord, we must embrace the mystery of the vast majority of things that we don't know out of obedience to the one that we do know? It's kind of like in the book of Deuteronomy chapter 8, the Lord told the children of Israel, remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness. Notice, to humble thee, to prove thee, and to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not. The Lord tests us in that way. Are you going to listen, Raymond? Or are you listening, Raymond? Or put your name there. He speaks to us. We have to remember that God is the potter. We are the clay. Don't turn it into another way. He leads. He molds. So he arises, he goes, And there's a man of Ethiopia of great authority, a eunuch. The word was used to describe someone in this context of some kind of an officer. So here's a man of authority, and he's a man of high rank. He's of a different race than Philip. So there's some social barriers that are going to be broken down here, no doubt. Philip goes in obedience, and he meets this eunuch who is under Candace. Now, we know from history that that name was a common name for the queens of Ethiopia, just like Pharaoh was of the sovereigns of Egypt. And so Philip goes towards this man of Ethiopia who was returning from Jerusalem, where he had gone to worship. So he may have been a God-fearing Jew or a Judaizer, and he's sitting in his chariot, quote-unquote, reading the prophet Isaiah. Coincidence. How many of you have ever heard people talk about, oh, what a coincidence? You go to a grocery store and you see somebody you haven't seen in 50 years. You go, oh, what a coincidence. Until you begin to have a conversation with them. And then it's like, I should have brought the V8 moment, you know? How many of you know that there's no such thing as a coincidence in the life of a son or daughter of the king? No such thing. God leads and he guides. So he's no doubt reading the Greek Septuagint translation, and he's reading it out loud. That's what they would have done. When you read the scriptures, when the Jews read the scriptures, they read them out loud. And so here is this God-fearing man coming back from Jerusalem. No doubt he has all kinds of questions. He's gone to Jerusalem, but it's not really, he's not born again. He may be seeking God, but he's not born again. And he's reading from the prophet Isaiah. Now, at that point in time, I personally believe Philip is now beginning to see, oh, now I know why I'm here. You ever have one of those moments? Yeah. Oh, now I know why I'm here. Now notice, the angel speaks to him, he arises and goes. Verse 29, and when the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join yourself to the chariot, he ran. When God gives you a command, what do? Well, let me see. He ran. He knew what God said to him, and he ran in obedience to him. Notice the Holy Spirit said. The Holy Spirit is not that kundalini force of Eastern religions. He's not some impersonal power or energy or, remember, what was it, Star Wars, the Force be with you, Luke. I had Christians say, boy, did you hear him talk about the Holy Spirit? Go, no, not once. Not once. The Holy Spirit is a person who does speak to his children. Jesus said, my sheep know my voice. They will not follow an imposter, and I will lead them. Remember when Jesus spoke to the seven churches in the book of Revelation? He began every letter with a description taken from chapter 1 of how he was seen by John on the island of Patmos. And then at the end of each letter, he says, he that has an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying unto the churches. So it's not a matter of whether or not God is speaking. Question is, are you listening? Are you tuned in? That's the thing. It's being tuned into the Lord. It's listening for the Lord. Not just reading the logos, the word, but listening to his voice. And so he hears Philip, or he hears the Ethiopian reading, and the Spirit said to Philip, go near and join yourself to him. Now, wait a minute. Philip knows nothing about this Ethiopian. Remember that? Okay, here's the Ethiopian. Sometimes I'm not going to project my weaknesses on you. Sometimes I read the Bible and go, oh, okay, well, that's a nice story. Here's the Ethiopian. He's reading. Isaiah 53. Then all of a sudden, here comes this guy. Who are you? Where did you come from? And Philip says, do you understand what you're reading? This is a complete stranger. He says, do you understand what you're reading? Now, do you think that that took faith? How many times have you gone up to a complete stranger and started sharing the Lord with them? Right? Amen. Yeah, right? You talk with them. You look for opportunities for them. You're in a grocery store. Someone sneezes. Someone over there says, God bless you. Go, well, okay, let's get into it now. Let's talk. What are we talking about? Who are we talking about? God bless you. Yes, praise God. Yes, amen, you know? What I want you to see here today, too, is this is a classic example of when God opens up an opportunity to witness. Now, be honest. How many times have you tried witnessing, but you're in the flesh? Anybody ever do that? And what a difference when the Spirit opens the door, when the Spirit leads you, when the Spirit is preparing the heart of the person that you're talking to. Now, it doesn't mean that they're always going to be compliant. There's often opposition, but this is a classic example. And so here are two men who've never known anything about one another, being led by God's Spirit, one as a child of God, one seeking a relationship with God, and now they're having this dialogue. Philip runs to him and he says, do you understand what you're reading? And the Ethiopian in verse 31 didn't say, who in God's heaven are you? This is amazing. It says, how can I except some man should guide me? So now he invites him up into the chair. Now this would have been like a, what's the most expensive? This would have been the classic vehicle of the day. So he says, come on up. And the question, how can I except some man guide me, opened up the door for Philip to share the gospel with him. He wanted to know, what does the scriptures mean? Isn't that the prayer of our heart? We want to know what the scriptures mean. I never want to assume that I know what every scripture means. I want to know, Lord, what does this mean? And so the Ethiopian is asking, what does this mean? He's going to ask the question, who is this prophet speaking of? Himself? Someone else? We desire to grow in grace and in the knowledge of Jesus, don't we? I want so much, I pray so much that your personal reading and devotional time will be so alive and so rich and so personal with God and so worshipful that you're just not going to go through the daily bread checkoff, June 4th. And you're not even out of your closet yet, and you forgot what you read. Of course, it's never happened to any of you. Only me. See, all of these things I'm telling you about that are not right, they only refer to me because you guys got it all down. Well, anyways, you want to dig deeper. I love what Pastor David Guzik wrote. He said, quote, butterflies wander over the flowers in the garden and accomplish nothing, but bees plunge right down into the flower and carry away essential food. We won't get anything if we just hover over our Bibles. We have to dive right in. Make the time to dive in. Make the time to dig in. Ask the greatest teacher in the universe, the Holy Spirit, to open your heart to his word. And he will teach you. He will teach you. Ironically, or again, coincidentally, the place of the scripture which he read was this. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation, His judgment was taken away, and who shall declare his generation, for his life is taken from the earth. And so these are the words from Isaiah 53, 7, and 8, where, of course, the prophet is speaking of Jesus Christ. Now, I think that this is incredibly remarkable. Of all of the prophecies of the Messiah's sufferings in the Old Testament that describe the atoning work of Jesus Christ, Isaiah 53 has been called the Mount Everest of them all. And here he is reading Isaiah 53. Here's a lost man seeking how he can know God, and he's reading Isaiah 53. Notice with me, beloved, that it said, he was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth. That's incredible. When Jesus was falsely accused, he didn't seek to defend himself. He could have easily refuted all of the accusations. He answered nothing, to the astonishment of Pilate. Why? Because as Son of Man, we know that there in the garden, he's on his knees. Three times he prayed, Father, if there's any other way to save fallen, sinful man, let this cup pass from me. Not my will, but thy will be done. An angel was sent to minister to him, and right then and there, Jesus knew, okay, I'm going to go through with this. So it didn't matter what his accuser said. He knew that his Father's, the will of the Father was that he would become the Lamb of God to take away your sin and my sin. But I was asking myself a practical question this morning, and perhaps I'll ask you the question. What do you do as a believer when you are falsely accused? Do you go on Twitter and Facebook and say, well, wait a minute, I want to set the record straight. Do you have the faith to keep your mouth shut? You see, because if you've done nothing wrong, there is nothing to defend. And you're just drawing attention to the lie. He opened not his mouth. Jesus said, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, right? So Jesus is now, he's all in. He knew why he came into the world. He's going to go to the cross. And so it didn't matter what false accusations were made against him. He was going to be obedient to the Father. And so the eunuch asked Philip, is the prophet speaking of himself or of some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. An important part of witnessing is opening your mouth. That's free information. He opened his mouth and he began with that scripture and preached unto him Jesus. When Peter wrote his first epistle, he talks about in chapter 1, verses 10 and 11, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you. Notice, the grace that should come unto you. The law was given by Moses to do this, do this, do this, do this, do this. Grace, undeserved, unconditional, unmerited favor on undeserving people like you and I. Grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. They searched the prophets. What manner of time the Spirit of Christ, which was in them, did signify when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. Bless the Lord, O my soul,
bless his holy word. Join us tomorrow at 6:30 p.m. as we complete this study on Selah, a daily study in the Scriptures with Pastor Ray Viola.
Worshiping with the saints on Sunday morning and hearing the Word of God preached from the pulpit is a wonderful thing. But if that's all you did, it would be hard to really feel connected to your church. Koinonia is named after a Greek word that is often translated as fellowship, but no single word can express its depth and richness. Koinonia means community, sharing life with one another, caring for each other as brothers and sisters in Christ. Our growth groups are small groups that meet throughout the month at church and in people's homes, where you can really get to know people, growing closer to the Lord and to each other. Check out all the groups on our website, koinoniafellowship.com.
Do you have a Bible question? Do you need to talk with someone or have someone pray with you? If you do, we invite you to visit our website at selaonradio.com and click on the live chat button. We'd love to hear from you. Audio and video downloads of all Pastor Ray's teachings can be accessed at koinoniafellowship.com. You can subscribe to Pastor Ray's blog at selaonradio.com and receive a daily devotional by email. We welcome you to join us for Sunday morning and Wednesday evening services at Koinonia Fellowship. Our address is 500 Main Street, East Rochester, New York. Service times are 8:30 and 10:30 Sunday morning and 7 p.m. on Wednesday. This program has been brought to you by Koinonia Fellowship.